Episode 33 of PEMBA On Demand will be another replay from early in our podcast. Dr. Sandy Valino-Stock was my guest on Episode 3 back in 2023. The episode was titled Entrepreneurship in Concierge Medicine and Direct Primary Care. Sandy completed her MBA at PEMBA, the University of Knoxville in Tennessee, in 2022. In the episode, she described the impact PEMBA had on her career and her life. She leveraged the knowledge she gained during her MBA to form a concierge medicine or direct primary care practice and Vogue Med and Wellness. She describes the value of concierge practices for patients and explains the model she has designed. She also explains the ability of concierge medicine, direct primary care, to alleviate the likelihood of early retirement and burnout for physicians. I hope you enjoy this early episode of our show.
Welcome to PEMBA On Demand, Physician Leaders Making a Difference. I'm Norm Chapin, your host. PEMBA On Demand is produced for physicians seeking professional development. We discuss a wide range of topics on the podcast, including successful innovations in a variety of different healthcare disciplines, current issues in healthcare, career development, and healthcare leadership.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PEMBA On Demand live stream. I'm Norm Chapin, host of the live stream. University of Tennessee Haslam College of Business is the sponsor of this live stream and podcast. PEMBA On Demand has been developed to provide education for physician leaders and bring the latest and most relevant topics to you. Each live stream focuses upon an aspect of leadership, innovation, career development, or the business of medicine. I hope you'll take full advantage of these practical and insightful and relevant discussions designed to help physician leaders get new and build upon existing leadership skills and perspectives. PEMBA On Demand will allow you to be an even bigger force for good in healthcare. We have made CME available for this live stream. Simply visit tiny, that's tiny.utk.edu/PEMBA On Demand to obtain your CME certificate. My guest today is Dr. Sandy Valino-Stock. She will be discussing entrepreneurship in concierge medicine and direct primary care in our live stream today. Sandy completed her family medicine residency in 2006 and practiced for 15 years in a family medicine practice, including inpatient rounding, before founding En Vogue Med and Wellness in 2022. We'll be learning a lot about direct primary care and concierge medicine today as Sandy shares her story with us. Sandy, welcome to PEMBA On Demand.
Thank you, Norm. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. Before we get started with your presentation, I was wondering if you would mind sharing with us a little about your motivation to found En Vogue Med and Wellness.
Well, actually, in the back of my mind, I think I always wanted to open a practice that really catered to treating patients as consumers. However, when I started PEMBA, I didn't realize that that's what I was going to do. So it wasn't until about halfway through PEMBA that I really missed the clinical world of medicine. I had a lot to give to the community still, and using what I learned in PEMBA gave me the greater confidence and sparked my interest again in returning to clinical medicine. So today is your lucky day because I'm introducing a blue ocean to the U.S. healthcare industry. We are facing rising costs for employers and employee out-of-pocket costs, a severe physician shortage, especially in primary care. We have more than half of physicians are burnt out, and in the healthcare systems have not been keeping up with consumer innovations. Hence, we have outdated technology and inefficient procedures. These industry woes give rise to multiple opportunities. Post-COVID research estimates that up to 55,000 primary care physicians will be needed in the U.S. by 2030. Currently, the average wait for a primary care physician appointment is 20 days, and once seen, appointments are rushed. So it's not surprising that the compound annual growth rate in concierge medicine for the next 7 years is 10%. Plus, according to Hint Health, in direct primary care, the average annual growth rate from 2017 to 2021 was 36%. Additively, the direct primary care market has grown 241% in this time. Moreover, the state of health in the U.S. is declining, such that 42% of U.S. adults meet the criteria for obesity. This gives rise to a number of medical conditions that lead to a shorter lifespan, lower quality of life, and astronomical healthcare costs. So it's not surprising that the medical weight loss industry has a compound annual growth rate of 10% for the next 7 years. And this data does not reflect the recent popularity of the GLP-1 agonists, such as semaglutide, being promoted by social media influencers. The COVID pandemic sparked a growing demand for personalized healthcare in the U.S., and consumers are more willing to spend for this, especially for their health. My service area presumably has an income to do this with $95,000 per year annual household incomes, and surrounding suburbs even higher. While there are a number of medical weight loss clinics in the area and online, these clinics cannot manage the adjustments that are needed in patients' medications for their chronic conditions, such as diabetes and hypertension, as they achieve weight loss. In my geographic area research, aside from myself, there's only one designated physician for both primary care and medical weight loss. I'm Dr. Sandy Valino-Stock. I am a double boarded physician in family medicine. Develop the acumen to realize the solutions I can offer to the communities I influence. Upon starting PEMBA, I didn't know I would be starting my own medical brand, but rather go into hospital administration. So after my medical training in 2006, I did practice for a nonprofit system for 15 years. And in that time, I've seen firsthand how the transformation of medicine has negatively affected the clinical workforce and my large patient panel. So before graduating PEMBA, I launched Envogue Med and Wellness. We are not just another doctor's office. We are a brand with the goal to bring change to our patient team. Our first core service is the elevated patient experience. We are obsessed with the patient experience and customer journey. Healthcare is so behind in addressing pain points throughout the customer journey, whether it's from the time a patient contemplates making a doctor's appointment to seeing a physician to receiving a bill months later for a surprise amount based on insurance plan coverage and negotiated rates. We elevate the patient experience compared to other health systems via smaller patient panels. We have secure direct messaging with your doctor and scheduling, same or next day availability, minimal or no wait in the office for your appointment, online pre-registration, click to pay, auto billing. And we also help coordinate specialists and tests that are ordered if they are needed on a more urgent basis. Plus, our patient appointments are longer than industry standards. Our second core service is comprehensive primary care. We provide comprehensive preventive care that is tailored to patients' needs and desire to for acute illness management. Our goal is to avoid urgent cares or ER visits if possible. For chronic illness management, Envogue Med and Wellness has time to be detail-oriented, and patients can have close follow-up when indicated, since it's easy to get appointments or access to a doctor that knows them well. Any exacerbations or new developments in medical conditions can be addressed in a timely manner. By doing so, this can and does minimize more complications and costs that are necessary. We can see patients via telemedicine or in the office. There are times when a patient's medical needs can be addressed through a quick direct message or a call between patient and doctor. This can eliminate the need for a billable encounter. In the traditional healthcare system, healthcare providers do not get paid for these quick, less than 5-minute encounters. So appointments are made, which devour patient and healthcare worker time and be an inconvenience to patients. Our third core service is personalized medical weight management. This includes lifestyle modification coaching, body fat percent tracking, referring to a trusted nutritionist or dietitian as needed, collaborating with bariatric surgeons in preparation for and postoperative care of patients, and prescribe weight loss medications if needed. What's unique, as I mentioned earlier, is that in Vogue Med and Wellness, we can monitor patients' chronic conditions in response to weight loss, so we can adjust their medications to prevent emergent and expensive complications, such as severe episodes of low blood sugar and low blood pressure. To recap, our company delivers comprehensive primary care and personal weight management with a distinctive elevated customer experience that patients have difficulty finding in healthcare. In addition to our core services, Envogue Med and Wellness is considering future value-added services, such as aesthetics in the form of injections, such as Botox or fillers, anti-aging, such as pelleting, and even personalized genetic medicine. The point is that I am absolutely free to choose. As an employed physician, I was seeing 30 patients a day, clicking hundreds of boxes on the screen to meet quality measures and spending more time documenting than seeing patients. Checking these boxes and increased documentation requirements did not make me a better doctor because I was already practicing high-quality medicine. Most doctors do. Now, as a doctorpreneur, I can expend my energy tailoring my craft so I can provide the best care for my patients and meet market demand. For example, does a 50-year-old woman with hot flashes, weight gain, and difficulty sleeping really care about value-based care in regards to her symptoms? Likely not. So you may wonder, how is this achieved? The answer is signing up for a monthly membership, which covers the cost for non-covered services or services deemed medically unnecessary by commercial or government industry standards. We have two types of membership, Premier Care and Direct Primary Care. Patients receive the same care with either membership. Patients can use their membership for either primary care or medical weight management or both. The difference is how their services are billed. Premier Care fee structure is a concierge-style membership. We have a monthly membership fee. In our case, it's a lower than industry standard membership fee, plus fee for service, billable covered services for the primary care and medical weight management. In this model, patients are still, since they're using their insurance, they are responsible for co-pays and co-insurance. Our low monthly membership fee is based on age group. The higher the age range, the more expensive the membership tier. This supports that elevated patient experience that we talked about. In addition, the membership entitles patients to discounts on prescription-only natural supplements and value-added services, which are generally not covered by insurance's discounts. The direct primary care fee structure, or DPC, consists of a monthly membership plus discounts on tests and labs that are not part of the monthly membership. The monthly memberships are higher than the Premier Care fee structure because they include not only the elevated patient experience, but also unlimited primary care visits and unlimited medical weight management consults. This contrasts to America's traditional third-party billing and reimbursement setup, where patients and doctors generally have no idea what the actual amount a patient is billed or the amount paid to the doctor until days or weeks after an encounter. Again, since membership is the fee is paid regardless of patient's utilization, as long as the patient's medical needs are met in a timely manner, the need to spend half the day going to the doctor is eliminated. This means addressing medical needs sooner with lower costs and less time missed from work. Medicare Part B patients cannot join the Premier Care membership. They cannot join direct primary care. This is because government insurances do not allow covered services to be paid by a patient or other entity except them. The DPC membership is either paid by employers, we call that employer-sponsored, or a patient pays directly out of pocket. Sometimes employers will give patients funds to pay for the membership. The benefit of DPC is that there is no third-party insurance billing for the membership, which means there are no co-pays, co-insurance, or deductibles for patients when they receive primary care services. So you may wonder, what about if someone has to go to a specialist or be in the hospital? The answer is that by utilizing direct primary care memberships, most of a patient's medical needs are addressed in that membership. But for those specialty care services, more higher acute services, patients do have either third-party commercial insurance, and those are less costly to the employer and to the employee. Some employers are self-funded. The employers will pay negotiated rates to the specialist and or hospital system. If there is very large medical costs involved for these self-funded plans, many companies will have a stop-loss insurance or a catastrophic insurance to protect their maximum out-of-pocket costs. In essence, it's like using health insurance the same way we use car insurance or home insurance. For basic care and maintenance for our cars or houses, we pay out-of-pocket for these services. But for catastrophic events, such as a car accident or hurricane damage, that's when insurance coverage kicks in. Nowadays, En Vogue Med and Wellness is competing with local nonprofit medical groups and for-profit entities, all trying to disrupt the traditional healthcare system. However, we check more boxes for what healthcare consumers want. That includes providers that know your name, same or next day visits, longer appointments, discounts on labs and imaging if paying out of pocket, transparent pricing, and the ability to directly message your provider securely. God willing, En Vogue Med and Wellness plans to grow the business to multiple locations in Chicagoland. I plan to open another location about every 2 years, so that by the end of year 5 or 6, I'll have 3 locations at Chicagoland. And then beyond that, based on market demand. I will also add experienced providers that can include physicians, but also nurse practitioners and physician assistants to existing locations to increase capacity. By growing the organization, this will help meet the goals to increase awareness and demand for concierge style medicine and direct primary care in Chicagoland. Currently, the awareness is very low and in only certain small pockets, generally in the fairly affluent areas. My hope is to expand it all over Chicagoland, the awareness. This model provides an avenue for improving accessibility to high quality and experienced healthcare. There is a growing shortage of physicians, especially in primary care, given the increased demand and decreased supply of physicians who are either retiring or deterred from entering primary care. I hope that my organization will be seen as an avenue of improved working conditions for primary care providers. This is by creating a better work-life balance, decreasing burnout, and keeping physicians in the workforce longer. My organization's mission provides another avenue to target the quadruple aim of healthcare that most of us are aware of. And just as a reminder, those components are the enhanced patient experience, lowering healthcare costs, improving the health of the general population, and reducing burnout of healthcare workers. We are an alternative to value-based care, which so far has not resulted in decreased healthcare costs for employers nor patients. In fact, commercial healthcare premiums are increasing 7 to 9% in 2024. in summary, EnVogue Med and Wellness is truly unique because we streamline the entire patient experience without depersonalizing it. And this reduces unnecessary work for our staff and providers. We can spend time with our patients or save time for our patients, providing quality healthcare at reduced healthcare costs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sam. That was a great presentation. As you can see, we have information on the slide right now, ways that you can contact Sandy if you have any other questions, including her phone number. And we will include those on the website as well in case you don't get a chance to catch those. This podcast is sponsored by the Physician Executive MBA program at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville's Haslam College of Business. In less than one calendar year, this program will equip you with valuable business acumen and leadership development not found in traditional medical school curriculum. Are you ready to join the longest-running physician-only MBA program in the country and a network of nearly 1,000 PEMBA graduates? Visit tiny.utk.edu/podcast for information about this exciting opportunity. And now we'll return to the episode. So at this point, Sandy, I wanted to go back and ask a couple of questions, and then we have a few comments in the comment section, which we'll get to in a minute. I wonder if you could talk for a minute and compare your current or the work week that you had when you were working in a more traditional family medicine setting and a lot of the frustration that physicians have now with burnout and the amount of time they have to spend in the EMR. But could you give us a comparison of what your normal workday and work week is like at EnVogue Med and Wellness compared to what it was like in that more traditional setting?
Yes, the statement that entrepreneurs wear many hats is very true. It's very interesting. So I don't have any employees yet. I've chosen to keep my operating costs very low. It requires me to get my hands dirty. I'm doing everything from the credentialing to my front desk. I do my own billing. I'm doing my own marketing. I have vendors that I work with to alleviate some of the duties. But it's great because my day consists of switching, taking one hat off, putting on another. I think I've had meetings already this morning mixed in with patient visits. I had a meeting with my virtual assistant about redoing my website. Then I had another meeting with a collaboration. It's really exciting. It's a lot of hard work. At the same time, my schedule is much more flexible. So I'm a big believer that if there is not work to be done, someone doesn't have to just sit in an office. As a provider, my patients can reach me anywhere, whether it's a telemedicine visit or in the office. So it makes it much more convenient for healthcare providers to address small things without sacrificing dedication to our patients. It's exciting to do different things, particularly on the business side of an entrepreneur. It's really exciting utilize things that I learned in PEMBA.
When did you actually open your door to your first patient?
October 27th of last year. My final project was the business plan for EnVogue Med and Wellness. We did not present that until a second week in December, but being as motivated as I am, I ended up launching before I completed the business plan. I took different assignments that we had during PEMBA, such as assignments in marketing, market analysis, even the lessons we had in IT. Those things, they came together when I was putting together my business. I actually use every bit of what I learned in PEMBA to help run my business. We also had the Baldrige organizational profile. And admittedly, at first, I didn't quite understand. I'm like, why are we doing this profile when we're learning about business plans? But there's a lot more to that business profile, even though it's a new organization, because that profile literally helps set, it's like writing a handbook for my organization. It's the framework, whereas a business plan, not just more theory, but it doesn't have protocols and or details on how you're going to run an organization. So I'm really proud that Don Leiter had us do that assignment.
It sounds like it made a big difference in how you bring processes into your practice.
Yes, absolutely. We learned about Lean Six Sigma. I actually use that organizational profile. It's basically a handbook. It did save me time in the end. How I run my processes helps keep me on track as an entrepreneur, trying to pivot, meeting market demand and such, trying to change my processes as needed. It does help keep me grounded and reminding me what my mission statement is, what my vision is, why I'm doing it, and how I'm going to run my business.
Great. Thank you. What percentage of your day right now, you mentioned the many different hats that you wear as a doctorpreneur. What percentage of your time is involved in direct patient care currently after being up and running for the first year?
I started my practice de novo, so with zero patients. It does take time to grow, especially I understand this business model and fee structure. I'm one of the early adopters to it. I'm hoping that my organization can contribute to the DPC model and even the concierge model becoming more popular. Right now, it does take time to grow, but I'm confident because there are many DPC practices in the country where the awareness is higher that are very successful and have expanded to multiple locations.
What is your goal for your panel size when your practice matures?
At the smallest, it would be 300 to 350. My goal is to have a reach of as many patients as possible within this model, even upwards of 1,000 patients in a patient panel, depending on what myself or other providers can handle. By having a lower than average, it does require a higher patient panel, but with the way the model is structured, you can care for a lot of patients, but still at a much smaller percentage of what I saw before.
I have a couple of other questions, and then I thought maybe we'd get to some of the questions and comments from the listeners, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
I noticed when you were giving your presentation that you have kind of two different types of practice. You have the direct primary care versus premier care. When you went into concierge medicine and direct primary care, was it always your intent to have an arm of your practice where you would accept insurance? I know that many of my friends who've done DPC or concierge medicine specifically have basically disenrolled, if that's the right term, from yeah, commercial and governmental payers.
Yes. When I started the practice, I was not planning on accepting any insurance to make it streamlined. So I did opt out of Medicare initially, and then the demand, my market demand really wanted to use their insurance. People say, well, I have this insurance, I want to use it. To cultivate that, I re-enrolled in Medicare and applied for a correct credential in the big insurance companies. At the same time, so that actually helped a lot. So the direct primary care piece, I'm working on adding that model where there's no insurance. So there is a fine line. You do have to be very careful with the legal structures and how you structure memberships and things like that. It is challenging, but I'm confident that I can accommodate both business models in my practice.
So do you think that this will become an option for a larger number of patients in society who depend on their insurance to offset the cost of healthcare, specifically governmental payers like Medicare and Medicaid? The rules for working with them are voluminous. Do you think you've found a way to navigate through that and still benefit patients, give them more time with you, and really be able to focus on the needs that they have?
Yes, I'm fairly confident. There are different target segments that my business serves. It would be wonderful if we could serve everyone, but I realize that my business cannot serve everyone. The main targets are people who need more convenience, whether they're busy, say, executives that travel and they can't go into the doctor, or even busy moms. They need to get in when for the little time that they have. Or there are patients that have very complicated health conditions. So they do need that extra time with the doctor. And then in terms of cost, so patients who have, or even employers who need to cut down on the health insurance premiums or health benefits, this avenue on the direct primary care side does answer that. And that actually then target patients for under direct primary care is literally the average family. So in that regard, there are different target segments that we have.
Have there been any other modifications that you made to your business plan since you presented it at like the insurance issue?
Yes, the insurance issue. My initial fee structure, instead of using the classic DPC fee structure where it's only age-based, I played around with it. I experimented, but it didn't work out too great. It was a little too complicated. The point is that I'm always trying to be aware of what is working, what doesn't. I'm a big fan of lean startup where you have that minimally viable product and you tweak your model to make it work. Something clicks with your market that you're trying to serve. So yes, I have had modifications, but at the same time, I'm still keeping true to the mission and purpose of why I started En Vogue Med.
Okay. Thank you. One of the things you mentioned in your presentation, which I'd like to get your comment on, is there's a lot of news now about physician shortage, and burnout's one huge contributor to this problem. But I'd be interested to know, what do you think the net effect of an increasing number of these direct primary care practices will have on the physician shortage issue? On the one hand, you have smaller panel sizes. On the other hand, you have a model of care that is very satisfying to patients and addresses their health needs in a way that potentially these high volume primary care practices can't. What are your thoughts on how that is all going to settle out?
I am hoping that my business model is going to decrease the amount of burnouts for a physician. Having another avenue, whether they just cannot accommodate the high volume that's needed in traditional healthcare, primary care. My model, it's more laid back. It's very consumer centric. What's great is that not only can we keep physicians from retiring earlier than they hoped plan to, but also even for the healthcare workers too. I know there's a shortage of not just doctors. We know that even healthcare workers, it's hard to find staff, MAs, nurses, front desk, et cetera. So and the purpose is to really build a culture that's feasible. You can't overwork anyone forever. With this work model, we will be able to, it'll reflect, the positive culture reflects on patients. And then if you have happy patients, there are studies that show that the culture of a workplace is also positive. So the one thing that I'm doing with direct primary care is a little bit different. There are organizations that have expanded and scaled. They employ direct primary care doctors, but most direct primary care doctors in the nation, over 2,000 of them, remain independent. They want to be independent. However, a lot of doctors don't have the luxury to leave their employed job and then open up their own practice. It does cost some money. So many doctors will have a part-time gig to support that. But one thing that my practice is going to do is employ doctors who want to make that switch into direct primary care.
Let's take a few questions from the audience right now. We've got a question here. First, in the chat, we put the website where you can go to get your CME. One of the questions we had was measuring the patient experience. How do you measure patient experience in your practice?
We send out surveys after patient visits, the Google reviews, growth by patient growth, membership growth, referrals. One of my software programs that manages membership, you can run reports. And for instance, you can track if a patient leaves a practice, track the churn, the reason why patients left the practice, or even how did patients hear about the practice. You can run reports. That's very important to do.
Are these surveys ones that you've developed internally, or do you use a marketing company or a customer relations company to provide you with the questions?
So far, I've created my own, but I am working with a marketing person to help develop surveys and automate them even more. So the answer is both.
The next question was fee collection and whether or not you've run into any challenges regarding patients paying the membership fee or paying on the insurance side, you have the copays and when those are collected.
In terms of the membership fees, my patients, when they sign on, we have their credit card on file with their permission, very secure. And they click the box for auto pay at each billing cycle. My membership, patients have a minimum of 3-month membership. If they want to opt out, they can at least 7 days in advance. So far, patients are happy with the membership. It's a very different model that they're used to. I keep my memberships low to make it feasible for patients to have this recurring membership. That's something I've learned to do myself. Fortunately, billing software has gotten a lot more user-friendly along the lines of how Apple products are very user-friendly. I don't see the behind-the-scenes technicalities. So I'm able to submit the bills and automate things so that collection times, we're collecting less than 30 days from the time of encounter, which is pretty good.
Do you have a process in your office where patients can pay at the time of service?
Yes. If patients are self-pay, I have transparent pricing. I tell them what the bill is and they enter their credit card and pay on the spot. So that really helps.
Can you share with us a little bit about what you found in terms of retention of patients? And basically, once patients sign up, what percentage of them are renewing at the end of that 90-day? Membership and what percentage may opt out?
I would say I have less than 5% churn rate of memberships. Yeah, it's pretty good because like I said, patients, they're so relieved that there's a doctor that can hear them out, that they can get in efficiently and that they directly message me. So I've had patients that were not necessarily sure about joining. They're like, oh, I'll just try the 3 months, but people have signed and stayed on. It's pretty amazing. The patients who have had churn, one woman was only seeing me for medical weight management. She had her own primary care doctor and her needs for the medical weight management were completed. That's one example of churn. If a patient is not able to afford a membership, we do work with patients so that we could retain them as best as possible.
What about telehealth services? One question from a viewer. Do you provide telehealth services and how does that work on a subscription basis?
Yes, we do have telehealth. It's baked into both fee structures. For the Premier Care, I just bill a telehealth visit using the appropriate codes and modifiers. Insurance companies do reimburse each year post-COVID. The amount that they're reimbursing is changing a little bit. So I'll be curious how that is in like about 2025. And then for the DPC members, that's part of their monthly membership. So again, it doesn't matter their monthly membership. It doesn't matter if they're seen in the office via telemedicine or even literally addressing their medical concerns via instant messaging that's secure. It doesn't matter as long as we take care of what they need.
Does your office bill the insurance companies directly for services or does the patient get the bill from you and then submit the invoice to the carrier?
So yes, the answer is I do bill it for the Premier Care model. I do bill insurance. I do bill services directly to the insurance company. There are many concierge practices who say they accept insurance, but they are not in-network providers. So patients will have to pay for their visit and then at the time of point of service, and then getting a printout or super bill to submit to their insurance companies. I opted to not do that for my patient.
Last question we have from the audience is what your system is for managing after hours calls and after hours service needs, weekends, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So in the membership contract, I state and set the boundary that even though we provide very high quality, accessible care, I do set the boundaries of mutual respect that while I am available 24/7, again, I don't have any other providers so far on my practice, but I am the one who manages my messages even after I receive everything after hours. But if it's not urgent, I encourage my patients to have discretion as to when they send their messages. Patients are very understanding. They tell me, no, why did you answer me? Don't answer me now. It's wait until tomorrow. So yeah, they do not message me in the middle of the night. So it's been great. People are worried about needing to cover yourself 24/7, but actually it's been fine.
One of the things that I thought of as you were with your practice and with your not-for-profit organization for over 15 years, which is quite a long commitment. I'd be interested in what emotions you had as you made this decision to leave your colleagues, leave the organization that you had kind of grown up in as a physician after you finished your residency. Can you share a little bit about those feelings, both on the positive and the negative side, as you work through this transformation of your practice and yourself?
It was bittersweet. The bitter part was simply because I was tired and entering a new phase in my life. I had just gotten married and needed to develop a better work-life balance. And for me to do that, it did require me to step away from what I was used to. I left the organization on very good terms. I loved the organization. I'm very loyal to it. I actually got admitting privileges to a sister hospital as well. I considered going back. I was asked to be the doctor to launch a concierge practice for that healthcare system locally. That was an honor, but I turned that down graciously because I wanted to do this practice my way. I learned so many things in Pemba that, and so I'm so obsessed with that patient journey and patient care. I wanted a way, an organization that I could mold and create efficient processes. If something doesn't work, I would change it. It is difficult for large organizations to make changes quickly. It's no secret and no fault of theirs, but if something doesn't work, get rid of it. I'm in that phase now. It's been liberating. It's scary, but I'm excited to see how it all ends. Maybe it won't end.
One last question. We've had a very wide-ranging conversation. I really appreciate your transparency and all the information you've shared. Is there any other information you would like to share, maybe for a physician interested in DPC and concierge medicine, any resources that you found valuable or learnings that you've had over the past year?
Yes, the biggest thing I would say is follow your heart, because you only live once and you really have to pay attention with like, why are you doing something? And because if you do end up starting your business, you're going to be asking yourself that every day. You'll be like, why did I do this? The alternative is so much easier. I could go back and be making good money and have a big patient panel and all this. Things would be easier, but harder at the same time. So it just keeps you grounded if you stay true to what you really want. Networking is something that as a doctor, I didn't really have to do because patients came to me. But now as an entrepreneur, very important that you need to network. And it's not just to drum up business, but for collaboration, and important to not be shy about seeking out mentors so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't want to make the same mistake that someone else did. And someone else doesn't want you to make the same mistake they did. It's actually easy to find mentorship, and it can greatly expand your opportunities and chance of success.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that, Sandy. Yeah. I really appreciate having you on the show today.
Thank you so much, Norm. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for taking the time to join the Pemba On Demand live stream today. We will be having more live streams discussing relevant topics for physician leaders. We'll also be releasing the content from the live streams as podcasts and additional podcasts every other week. Information on how you can subscribe and access the podcast will be available on the major podcast players and on our website. You'll be able to listen to the podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, for example, Stitcher, and others. I'd like to give a very special thank you and a shout out to Kate Atchley, the Executive Director for the Healthcare Division for Graduate and Executive Education at the Haslam College of Business, University of Tennessee, and Dr. Don Leiter, Professor at the University of Tennessee and Director of the Institute for Healthcare Quality Research and Education. Their support for this program is very, very much appreciated. Thanks also to Tom Brown, Sharath Shreeman, and Christy Napper for their work in support of this program. Please remember that CME is available for this live stream. Just visit tiny.utk.edu/PembaOnDemand to obtain your CME certificate.
Pemba On Demand is released bi-weekly, every other Thursday, and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Castos, or Overcast. Please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast player by clicking the subscribe button. Add Pemba On Demand to your podcast library today. I would also appreciate it if you could share the podcast with your friends or colleagues. You can also listen to our podcasts on our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/@PembaOn-demand, all one word, no spaces. Please hit the like button and subscribe. Also, if you have any comments or questions regarding this or other episodes, please feel free to add them into the comment section on our YouTube channel. We love hearing from you and are happy to answer any questions you may have. I will add a link to our website and our YouTube channel in the show notes. The website is tiny.utk.edu/PembaOnDemand, all one word. There's no hyphen in that URL. You will find the links to the episodes there. Please also check the show notes for links that were discussed in the show today. Take good care of yourselves and become an even bigger force for good in healthcare.